Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
He appeared to over 500 people, 500 eyewitnesses, not just a few, but many. And then 40 days later, he rose up into heaven. And now he's forever seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for us. 40 days meeting with his team, teaching them, loving them, and reassuring them that once he's resurrected, he will have to go, but he will send another, a comforter, a helper, to not just be with you, but to live in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us, comes to empower us, comes to guide us into all truth and give us wisdom. He died so that we may live. Now, this is different compared to how many people think. Many people think that God is far away somewhere, that God doesn't care, that God is not there for us. Perhaps if we pray hard enough and long enough, he might come down. He might visit us every now and then. Perhaps answer a simple prayer every now and then. And so many in this world and in our country have lost hope. They've lost any reason for living, any reason for dreaming or planning for the future. And yes, at times life does hurt. Minor irritations and bumps in the road, or at times life-shaking troubles. Things we don't expect and other things that will eventually happen. You know, one of the hardest things that's happened in my life is my mom dying. A little over a couple years ago. And it was really eerie. We had gone back the year before she died and she was healthy. We didn't know that she had bone cancer. And we decided to go visit my dad's grave. And actually the cemetery where all my family is buried, I worked there every summer for 7 years. So while I was mowing around stones and pulling weeds, I would go by and fix the flowers, you know, water the flowers and read the stones. My grandmother and grandfather, all of our relatives buried in the same cemetery. And I never realized that we were standing there with my wife and our kids and we were going to go and visit the grave. And I looked on the back of the stone and I guess to save money, it was tradition to, not tradition, but I think it's a money-saving thing. You would put the birth and the death of who had died. And then underneath that was my mom's name. Rita Tromby had her birth date, but obviously the day she died was not engraved in it yet. And it was a little bit eerie. We were like, ooh, that's not nice. Personally, I would pay for it to be done after the fact. Anybody out there? You know, it was shortly after that when we left that we found out that she had cancer. And she did go on to heaven. And we thank God that she knew Christ. We thank God that she's up in heaven. And I believe that my dad and my mom are up in heaven. They're looking at us today. They're looking at City Park Church. They're looking at their son, their daughter-in-law, and their grandkids. And they're saying, keep going on. Don't give up hope. Don't stop dreaming. Amen? Have a vision for your life. Don't settle for second best. I believe that's the message of Christ and the message of heaven. Things just happen. Life happens. Eventually, we will all shed this old body. Can anybody say amen? This body that's decaying and this body that stinks at times, this body that has pain at times, and we will get a resurrected body when we get to heaven. Woo! They say those who have gone to heaven and come back that the average age is in your 20s. Wouldn't that be nice? Hallelujah. Nice 20-year-old energy-ridden body. You can run again. You can jump again. You can exercise again. You can walk again. Hallelujah. You know, things just happen in life. My wife is from Germany, and she just got her citizenship, become an American citizen. So she has dual citizenship. So that means she still hasn't escaped from her husband, right? And she had gone home last year to celebrate her dad's 80th birthday. And normally it's in September. She's a teacher. She works. So she got special permission to go for the big celebration. And her parents are both alive. They're both you know, living life. And at the time, her mom and her dad were healthy and had a great celebration. But shortly after she left, we get the news that her mom had a stroke. They had been on vacation, which Germans are on perpetual vacations. They had been on vacation north of where they're from. No relatives there. Got her to the hospital. And it took a while. She's doing well now. But that heartache and that pain to be so far away and you can't do anything. And she called. And every morning she'd get up, she'd call. And she'd share scripture with her. She's a believer too. And encourage her. And encourage her in her speech. And little by little, she's gaining everything back. But she's getting older. You know, the inevitable of them being so far away, you think to yourself, oh my gosh, what did we do? We know that God called us here. She knows that God called us to America, and it's a sacrifice to live so far away. But I had been there the previous year by myself on a special trip, and I love her parents as like my parents, you know. That's good for in-laws, right? Amen? Love in-laws like your parents. And I had been there a few weeks, and the last night, her dad's like, I want to take you out to dinner. You know, and he loves to go out to eat, right? And that's the treat, going to take you out to dinner. So I said to my brother-in-law, I'm going to pay. You know, you secretly give the card to the waitress. And he's like, no. He says, you can't. He goes, this may be the last time that he's able to pay that you see them because you don't come here that much. And then the reality of like, oh. Because I know every time we would leave Germany and leave her family behind, the Frankfurt airport was just a cry fest. It was like, okay, get ready for the tears to flow because we're leaving. You know, might as well get the handkerchiefs and get everything ready. But stuff happens. Things, life can be difficult. People lose hope. But our hope is this, that the grave is not the end. Amen? The grave is not my final resting place. Our story does not end when the casket goes down. And working in the cemetery for 7 years, there were times where we did all the mowing stuff, and they had the main crew who would bury people. They would need help at times. And these days, they do not lower the casket while the people are surrounded. The reason is because people were so distraught as the casket would be lowering, people were jumping in. So they waited till everybody would leave, and then we would go over and push the button. We would lower the casket down into the vault, and then they would bring the backhoe and put the cover on, and then we would fill it up. But that's not our final resting place. This old body will be put in the grave, but the real me lives forever. The real me looks like me. The real me will actually be able to eat. We know that Jesus ate after he rose from the dead. Can anybody say amen? And not gain any weight. Hallelujah. Eat all you want. Come on. Steak and potatoes. Come on. Low fat. Are you kidding me? Heaven's going to be good. The thing is, we don't have to eat. We get to eat. Isn't that cool? We don't have to eat to live because we actually survive by the life of God in heaven. And we live by his light and his energy. Amen? We become his incredible immediate family up there. He's prepared a place for us. It says in John 16, he says in verse 33, it says, I have told you these things, Jesus said, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, he prophesied, you will have trouble. But take heart, he said, I have overcome the world. We have all come to our end from time to time, thinking I can't do this another day. God knows. God sees. My definition for hope this morning is this: happy anticipation of something good happening. Woo! I want a purpose to get up every single day with that anticipation. I say, depression, you have no hold on me. Amen? I am not going to allow the circumstances of life to dictate my attitude. Because I know who I belong to and where I'm going. I know that I live on this life, on this earth, for a greater purpose. Not just to survive, but to thrive. Amen? God is a good God, and you need to expect something good. I would rather believe for a whole lot and get a little than believe for a little bit and get all of it. Are you out there? I remember when my dad was dying, right up to the last day, we are praying and speaking and believing God. Why not? Why not? Look for a miracle right there and then. We had a lady, her name is Edie. She's not here today, God bless her heart. But she went into the hospital. And we're seeing miracles in our church, amen? Seeing things happen. Well, Edie had issues. She had some gallstones that were really messing up her system. But they also said when they took the CAT scan that she had a lump at the end of her pancreas. And they said, well, that lump, it's in a good place. We don't know if it's cancerous or not. So if it needs to be removed, we can go in there and just cut the end of your pancreas off because you need your pancreas, right? Well, they went in a few days later and did some exploratory surgery, scoping, obviously after we had prayed. And the doctor came back and said, Edie, there's no lump there. The lump is gone. And I'm telling you, this is a miracle. Because we had the radiologist and two other doctors confirm that the CAT scan, there was a lump on it. Your pancreas looks like a baby's pancreas. It is soft and smooth and new. I'm telling you, God is in the miracle working business. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to set you free. Some people, they complain, well, I'll never be well. Oh, me, poor my. I'll never have enough money to do anything. I'll never get any peace with these kids in the house. God help me. They can't move out because rent is too much around here. Lord, I'm going to kick them out under the bridge. Hope refuses to give up. When God returns, guess what? He's going to find Bob Trombley pressing on. What is the point of having a critical negative attitude anyway? There is no point. It does nothing good. It changes nothing. Anything can change except God himself. What is the hope that you have in your life? What is the vision for your future? Do you have a dream? Have you given up on that dream? Do you have a dream for your body? Do you have a dream for your kids, your finances? Do you have a dream to buy a house? Do you have a dream to get married? What is your hope and what is your dream? Maybe it's a dream of ministry, a dream of being in ministry, a dream of doing something to impact people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, loving on people. You know, there was this guy, and I've told this story before once, but I love it. His name is Charles Darrow. Now, Charles Darrow, at 20, he set a goal. And his goal was this. He said to his wife, honey, I want to be a millionaire. His wife, like, I agree with that. And in the 20s, when he was married and working, it was a huge thing to have a goal to be a millionaire. Now, it's good to have goals, and it's good to expect something. Can anybody say amen? And what happened was these guys would sit around, and they would dream. They would dream about being a millionaire. And they didn't have a lot. They didn't have much at all. But their goal was to be a millionaire. They said this, I would rather live with hope than fear and doubt. He was determined. He promised his wife, but in the 20s, what happened? The depression hit. Charles and Esther, his wife, lost their jobs. Then they lost their life savings. He was depressed and hopeless. Even to the point that he suggested to his wife that she leave him because he couldn't even supply food to eat, never mind the dream he promised her. Yet she remained hopeful, and he was hopeless. Esther was not about to leave. She said, every day we have got to do something towards our dream. They began talking. Every night they purposed to sit together and talk about their dream they had of being millionaires. They kept hope alive. Talking about the dream. Esther, being the creative one, she suggested they make, you know, little money cut out of paper. And so they would use that money and play with that money. She played with it, he played with it, and they dreamed with that money about buying things. They dreamed with that money about buying a house someday, buying land or investing. They pretended to buy things like houses and building. And it turned into a board game with dice, buying property and houses and hotels called Monopoly. You guessed it. It was the beginning of a game that almost every household in America has. They then approached the Massachusetts firm Parker Brothers. You ever hear of them? They looked at the game, they played the game for them, and their response was this. They found it slow, dull, and the rules hopelessly complex. Then he approached Warner Brothers Game Store, and he said this. If I take out a loan for 5,000 games, would you stock them in your store? They did. The game took off. Who came back to them a little later? Parker Brothers took another look at the game, and they found it to be imaginative, fast-paced, and surprisingly easy to master. It was copyrighted in 1935, and they sold it to Parker Brothers for $1 million. Zechariah 9:12 in the Amplified Version says this, "Return to the stronghold of security and prosperity, you prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will restore double your former prosperity to you." Somebody say, prisoner of hope. I want to be a prisoner of hope. I am shackled to hope. Amen. I'm in jail for hope. I am steadfast, a prisoner of hope. Bring me to the hope prison. Because that's where I want to live. And that's where I want to be. I have made up my mind. I am bound to believe. We can be so negative, it's really not our circumstances that steal our joy. It's our attitude. How do you expect me to be happy with this going on? I suggest you get your mind off it. Stop talking about it wherever you go. You ever notice that hopeless people, they always are talking about, oh me, oh my, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. Oh me, they call you on the phone and you can't take it anymore. You're like, every time I talk to that girl, she depresses me. I don't want to hear it. See, Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's a lot of people out there with sick hearts. A lot of depression that happens from people's own thinking. We talk and we talk and we talk, and then we think and we think and we think. You know what? Get your mind off it and go help somebody. Get your mind off it and go do something for somebody besides yourself. Because hopeless people will only end up focusing on themselves and their situation. Hebrews 11:1 says this, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." See, hope is the star of the text. Faith is the supporting actor. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where there is no hope, faith has no job. You know, I declare that City Park Church is a place of hope. I declare that our church is, when people come to this church, is where dreams are born, where dreams are worked on, where dreams are accomplished, where there is a faith project going on. You know what else is going on? People praying, people planning, people believing. There's a spiritual hunger, amen? And you know what? My job is I'm here to stir up your spiritual hunger. I'm here to tell you that you're not just a body that you exist in, and it's not just your mind that you have educationally developed, but you are a spirit being. You are an eternal being and you are created for eternity. You are created for an eternity in heaven. But without Jesus Christ as your Savior, because guess what? He is the only way to get to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you cannot get to heaven and come to the Father except through Him. Muhammad won't do it, folks. Muslims won't do it. Are you out there? Other religions won't do it. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Spiritual hunger. People come to City Park Church to feed their faith because of their hope. Your faith can't do anything if you don't have hope. If you have no hope, no God dreams, no future thought, no heaven thinking, then you're probably dead. Check your heartbeat. City Park Church is a place where God shows people things to come. God created us for a purpose. We have a significant plan for each one of us that He planned before the foundation of the world. His will, not our will. John 16:13 says this, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," that's the Holy Spirit that He sent to live in us, "He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." And then He says this, "And He will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit in us shows us things to come. Shows you your future. The hope of glory lives in us, and He will open up your spiritual eyes to why you exist here in East County. Show you a greater purpose. And where there's hope, when I see people with hope, you know what I see? I see fights and battles going on. People willing to pick up the sword and fight. Willing to engage in the battle. You see, when people of faith gather together, there's a pushing and there's a pulling and there's a praying and there's a progressing forward. To be honest with you, I didn't come here to show off my new shirt to you this morning and my clothes. I came here because I want to boost your hope. And when I boost your hope, guess what? My hope, I preach to myself. Hallelujah. I encourage myself in the Lord by preaching on Sunday mornings. Hallelujah. I came here because I need to boost my hope. Hope is an expected end. Hope has nothing to do with the process. It has everything to do with the destination. Hope is broad. What do I see from the people of this church? I see businesses. I see healthy families. I see ministries. I see God doing things. I see freedom. I see peace of mind. I see healing in your bodies from sickness and disease. At this church, we're letting you know right now, we hate cancer. Amen? Hate cancer. Hate cancer. Does anybody here have cancer? Let's pray. Anybody dealing with cancer? If you are and you don't want to raise your hand, let's bow our heads and let's pray right now. Father, I'm not happy that my mom died at such a young age. And I know you're not the cause of it. We know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So right now, we pray for those here that might be battling a bad report, a lump, a cancerous tumor. Maybe the doctor has told you that you've only got a few months to live. We speak to that cancer. We speak to that lump. And by the authority given to us in the name of Jesus, we command cancer and sickness and disease to leave your body. And we say it in the name that is above every name, the name that will pinpoint and target that cancer and burn it out better than chemo. His name is Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, God. Praise you for that. My goal is not to protect myself from disappointment and to live in a state of comatose on this earth. What good is life without living? I want to encourage you to wake up. Wake up and look around you. Some people want to escape reality and they think the grass is greener on the other side, but really, the grass is greener where you water it. And perhaps you haven't watered your situation lately. You wanted to make a difference somewhere when you were younger. You knew God had something for you, but somewhere along the line you ran into some obstacles. So you decided to adjust your limitations to your expectations. Today I'm blowing the trumpet in your ears. God has too much for you to do. I can't spare your tears or fears or trauma. Each passion has its obstacles. But it is when you endure that expresses what you deeply desire. Again, as we end, Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You don't need to beg God to come and help you. When you receive Christ as your Savior, He comes to live in you. And He brings with it everything you will ever need spiritually to live a spiritual champion life. All of His peace, all of His love, and all of His joy come to live in you. You don't need to pray for more peace. Guess what? The Prince of Peace lives in you. You don't need to beg for joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and He lives in you. Amen? I carry God wherever I go. I'm a God carrier. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He has made my body His temple. And wherever I go, He leads me, He talks to me, and He guides me into truth. He will lead me on paths of success for His name's sake, the Bible says. God wants you to be successful. Do you guys know success is a Bible word? And success, guess what, begins on Sunday. Success begins on Sunday. Being part of a community of faith and coming to a church like this, there's many in this town, we know many of the pastors, amazing churches here in Gresham. But I'm telling you, coming here is where you get your tank filled so that you don't just live a natural life, you can live a supernatural life. Because living a supernatural life is more natural than anything. Being supernatural is more natural than natural. Try it, you'll like it. Really. Supernatural life is available to us all. Psalm 33:22 says this, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Our hope in you. One of our themes of this church is that we're changing the culture of a city with the message of hope. And today, hope is found in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope of the world. And the promise is this, the great hope that we look forward to is He will return one day. And if we look at what's going on in the world, that day is not too far off. So I wouldn't wait any longer to not get your hearts and your lives ready before Him. Because when He comes, we will then meet Him in the air. And those who have not received Him as their Savior will be left behind to deal with unimaginable biblical tragedy. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you can just dim the lights and let's pray together. My heart for you this morning is if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never gotten serious about following God and His life that He has for you, this morning, we're asking you to make a decision. He's asking you. Jesus paid the price for your sin to set you free. And the gates of heaven have been opened wide. And eternal life is that free gift that He's provided for us. You can't go to church for it. You can't read your Bible for it. You can't be a good person for it. The only way to heaven is by belief in Jesus as your Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The second part is this. He not only provided for you eternal life when we die, He provided for you abundant life on this earth. He wants to lead you and guide you, as I've talked about, in your dream. He wants to give you that dream. He wants to remind you of that dream. He wants to give you a hope for existing. He wants you to not just wake up and say, oh, I wish I could die. As some of you have thought recently, as the spirit of suicide has tried to attack you and overcome you, and the devil wants to kill you and destroy you. We've seen people commit suicide in our ministry, before. And it ruins the families that are left behind. Unbelievably horrible situation. If you're without hope, if there's an emptiness inside that needs to be filled by the Spirit of God and by Jesus Himself, pray this prayer after me and pray with all of your heart. Say this after me to receive Christ as your Savior. Say, Heavenly Father, this morning on Easter 2016, I receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe He died for me, but He's not dead. He rose again. He's alive. I thank You, Lord. I ask You to be my personal God and my Savior. Thank You for hope. Thank You for creating me. Thank You for the dream that You have for my life. I pray this prayer with all my heart in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you want to receive Christ as your Savior for the first time, or you want to recommit your life, you've fallen away from God, you're not serving God, and you're like, I got to get back to Jesus. He's my only hope. I understand that. Just raise your hand up. Anybody in the place? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else receiving Christ as your Savior this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? Just raise your hand up boldly. Say, I need Jesus as my Savior. I need Christ as my Savior. I need to put Him first. I need to get right. Thank you. Anybody else? I know there's some more. Thank you. Thank you in the back. Thank you, Lord. I thank You, Lord. There's some more people. Don't leave this room without making a decision. Don't leave this room without knowing where you're going. Don't leave this room without reconnecting with the loving, amazing Savior who is for you and not against you. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in your life this Easter. By making this decision, you're going to have the best Easter this afternoon you've ever had in the weeks to come. God is going to begin to speak to you again. He's going to begin to say things to you again. He's going to begin to minister to you life and love. You're going to change. Hallelujah. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else in here? God is going to do something amazing in your life. 20-something years ago, 27 years ago, I received Christ as my Savior. I do not have the right to stand up here except for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. He saved me and set me free from my sin. Took away condemnation and the guilt and the shame of my past and set me on a path of helping and seeing people's lives be changed and turned around. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. If you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, we have a free book we want to give you and we want to pray with you. I want you to come forward. Give them a big hand as they come forward. Come on. If you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, come on. We got a free book for you. We want to give you something. Thank you for coming forward. Thank you so much. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Just stand right here. Come on up. Awesome, man. Awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? I saw a number of hands be raised. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on forward. Come on forward. Woo! Come on, give me a big hand as they come. I saw somebody in the back there. Come on. Hallelujah. Anybody else? You didn't raise your hand, but you need to come forward anyway. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for these people. Father God, we pray for these four that have come forward. Thank you, Lord, for helping them to reconnect with You.